Praise the Lord. So good to see everyone out this morning. So good to be able to come to the Lord's house to worship Him and to honor Him and to receive from Him. How many want to receive from Him? Amen. Hallelujah. And now we're going to open the Bible. And we spent 4 weeks on a series titled Rebuke the Devil. And rebuking the devil was all about resisting and rejecting demonic suggestions. So I felt in my heart like we're going to spend a number of weeks looking into now receiving holy suggestions. So I'm starting a series titled Holy Suggestions. How many know the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he does it through demonic suggestions? But Jesus came that we might have life, a fruitful life, an abundant life, a blessed life. Anybody here want the blessed life, the abundant life? Well, guess what? The way that unfolds in your life is when you actually receive holy suggestions. And so, and believe it or not, this is a very, very big deal to believers, because the main way that the Bible describes a holy suggestion is through the word wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. About 70% of the time, holy suggestions fall in the category of wisdom. And so when you become a Christian, what's awesome is that you not only get to reject demonic suggestions, but you actually get to receive God's holy suggestions, and that is wisdom. Now let me say this to you. This is something that I'm gonna say things that might make my kids twitch because I said it so much as they were growing up. But let me tell you something. Life is hard when you don't align with wisdom. Okay? Life is hard when you don't align with wisdom. And here's another thing. Doors close when you reject wisdom. Okay? So the interesting thing about the dynamic of what we're talking about today is that sometimes we think that all we have to do is resist the devil. But you can resist the devil, but not receive holy suggestions. And when you resist the enemy, but don't really embrace wisdom, part of what's happening is you're living based on your understanding. And the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. Come on, somebody's reading the Proverbs. By the way, I really want to encourage you. I've been doing this for years, but I read a chapter of Proverbs every day based on the calendar day. In fact, I know the date more because of the book of Proverbs than because of my calendar. You know, I don't look at my calendar as much as I look at the book of Proverbs. And I just find that we need to be taking your life, your devotional life should have two sides to it. In the middle of the Bible, there's the book of wisdom and the book of Proverbs. And in the book of wisdom, you develop your worship life. You develop your worship life. And you'll see in a moment, this combines. This is the combination of wisdom where you actually worship God. There should be a full flow of worship to your walk with God all the time. You should be able to say, I love you, I worship you, I bless you, I sing to you. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about my King Jesus. Hallelujah. How many would say amen? And look, if you grew up in a brand of Christianity where they didn't teach you that, let me tell you something, it's in the Bible. Okay, and I don't care what anybody says. You get me 1,000 men of God. I'm telling you, there are hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Bible that talk about loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. So there is something, there are holy affections that we should be reaching out to God with. And so that's the book of Psalms. But the book of Proverbs then is where God has given you lots of practical instruction. Practical instruction. And when you mix that worship going towards God and then a heart that receives his practical instruction, incredible blessing and freedom and victory and joy and troubleless. Is that a word? Less trouble. Okay, less troubles when you walk in wisdom. So wisdom is aligning our living and thinking. Okay, wisdom is aligning our living and thinking according to God's truth, purposes, and design. Okay, it means not that you resist what's wrong, but that you align with God's opinion of what's right. Wisdom is God's opinion, not your opinion. Okay? So look at what Lewis Goldberg said. He said, wisdom is his character in the many practical affairs of life. When I first became a Christian, one of the things that stood out to me with some of the leaders is how wise they chose to live. You can live in a way that's unwise or wise, and it's very, very, you know, practical. There are simple things that are just God's way. Let me put it this way. God's way is the best way. Amen. God's way is the best way, and God wants you to choose. He's not going to force you. You have to receive the suggestion. God wants you and I to receive his suggestions and to choose to walk in wisdom. He wants us to choose to respond according to his will. And whenever, like, look, we see the kids worshiping God and we're praising God because we want kids that worship God. How many would say amen? So God celebrates and rejoices every time you and I choose wisdom. Just like a father does, just like parents do. And I want to get you to the title, but let me just say this. It's not enough to know truth, okay? Many people love the phrase, knowledge is power. And I don't agree with knowledge is power. I say wisdom is power. Because a lot of the smartest people are the most foolish, okay? There's a lot of smart people who are really foolish with their lives. And so knowledge alone is not what we need. And here's the key. Knowledge alone, knowledge is good, okay? But the real power for living is when you accept Jesus's counsel for how to live. How many want to accept Jesus's advice? How many would say amen and amen? So at the end of this message, and as the weeks unfold, and as we cover different topics, I want to encourage you to learn the difference between your preferences and God's principles. And when God gives you a principle, if your preference doesn't align with it, don't fold your hands. You know, we had a he's a man now, but early when the church started, we had a little boy who lived with us for a lot of years. Like is a son to me, son to us. His name was Malachi. And I remember when Mally was little, he was like this big. And we were at the house, and I was telling him to do something. He didn't want to do it. And finally, I was like, hey, Mally, I said, you know, fix your face and whatever. And he was like... And I said, unfold your hands. Okay, now you're going to listen to me, right? Now listen to what I said, and he went like this. Okay? So look, don't do that with Jesus. Some people, they could be like, you could be 55 years old and you're still going like this. Okay? How many know wisdom is good for our lives? Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So in a moment, let me tell you, the way you get to wisdom is through a very unique biblical word. And that word is, you ready? Fear. The title of today's message is Fearless Fear. Because it's not the kind of fear that you would think of. Remember, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, which is wisdom. However, if you're going to receive wisdom, the Bible teaches us that we need fear, but biblical fear. And I'm going to read that to you now, and then we're going to pray. If you're watching online, okay, we're one church in two cities. Pastor Josh is preaching this message today in Philadelphia. Okay, if you're watching online, please, please open your heart to wisdom. You can be kind, you could be nice, you could be a good person and yet lack wisdom. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, okay, I mean, the Bible says wisdom cries aloud in the streets. Okay, it shouts from the mountaintops. God is reaching out with wisdom. Wisdom is available. If you don't know what to do, what is available, how to feel, how to look at things, it's available to you if you will do what the Bible says here, and you need to start with fear, but biblical fear. So let's read Proverbs 1. I'm going to go from 2 to 7. Watch this. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, in wise behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. If you want to be able to really help people, only wisdom helps people. My opinions don't help people. You've heard me say this before, right? Listen, when I preach, look and see if it's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, don't take it that serious. If it's not in the Bible, don't take it that seriously, right? My job is to preach the Bible. You know why? Because the word of God is wisdom. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. If you ever notice that I don't stray to the left or to the right with certain topics that are going on too much, I'm going to tell you why. It's because I want to stick to the Bible. The truth of the Bible is what will build you, strengthen you, and set you free. How many want the word of God that sets us free? Hallelujah. If you want to give people something, give them the Bible. Give them the Bible. It will last for all of eternity. So for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, because you can always add, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Here it is, ready? The fear of the Lord. Everybody say the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There it is. This is powerful. Proverbs 9:10 again says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It all starts with God. It all starts with Jesus. Okay? It all starts with Jesus. Jesus is wisdom and might and glory and power. And so Jesus doesn't want you to be afraid in a terror sense, but we should fear the Lord, and we're going to unpack that today. But let's pray right now. Let's pray for a spiritual transaction. You've come to church. Let's pray for the deepest impact possible of this moment, an impact that goes beyond the preacher, an impact that the Holy Spirit could come, overshadow me, and minister to your heart. That's what I'm praying. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite you to minister to us. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your wisdom. And we ask that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive wisdom. God, teach us the fear of the Lord today. Overshadow the speaker, God. I'm just a vessel today. But God, may the Holy Spirit flow through me to your people, and may your people receive the flow of the Holy Spirit. Bless this word. God, I pray that we would begin to adapt our lives in any area that you desire. Help us to adapt our lives to your wisdom. Bless this word. Bless my brothers and sisters, from the youngest to the oldest. Bless our time in your presence, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God is here. Come on, let's praise Jesus. God is here today. Hallelujah. So the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And it's important for me to say, this is very, very important, is that God does not want to be an object of terror. He doesn't want us to be terrified by him. However, his awesomeness is very humbling and almost terrifying. Like, God is so massive, so powerful, so holy, so pure, so glorious that there is a part of him that makes our human frailty almost tremble. You see, we need to respect God. We need to honor God. And so when the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, which is the way, is the beginning of wisdom, we find that wisdom through what we would describe as the word reverence. How many know what it means, reverence? So reverence is a recognition of the awesomeness of God. Okay, here's the way it is. His glory and ultimate power could crush us, okay? It could crush us, but we stand in awe of his loving mercy and kindness. How many know if we got what we deserve? Look, how many want to run out right now? Right? If we got what we deserve, but he's rich in mercy. He knows everything. He knows every thought. He knows the hairs on our head. You know, if God wanted to get us, like, oh, you know, trust me, he can get us. But he doesn't. You see, every time you see a cross, remember, a cross should remind you, wherever you're walking in the streets, you see it at a church or you see someone with a cross, remember, what is the cross? This cross is the symbol of God's love and mercy. Anybody thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ today? Hallelujah. God doesn't want to get you. He wants to help you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, he loves us. And because of that, it should cause us to want to honor him. So listen to the way the book of Job put it. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. God doesn't oppress people. In this world, people with great power are often oppressive. But God, with all the power and all the glory, he's not oppressive. Well, what's the evidence of that? Jesus is the evidence of that. Okay, but then it says, look, therefore, people revere him. This is counsel to you and I. This is advice to you and me. Revere him. Treat him with reverence. Treat him with respect and awe and honor. Watch this. For does he not have regard for all the three words? Let's read it together. Wise in heart. If you revere God, then you, if you respect God and revere God, you're wise in heart. If you don't respect God, if you don't think about honoring God, your heart is not wise. You might be really, really smart, you know, but your heart is not wise. You know, a guy, I met this guy through some friends. He graduated from like a Ivy League school, kind of Yale, Harvard type school, and gave his heart to the Lord. He was a brilliant guy, but you know, it was funny because he was so smart. You ever meet someone that their brain is like twice the size of their head? This guy was so smart, and when he would talk, you could hear how smart the words, the way he strung things together. You're like, this is, you know, like, I'm just going to go stand over there, you know? But here's the thing. He knew God, but he didn't. He knew God, but he didn't. And so he could talk a great game. And look, I'm saying this because I love you. Okay? I'm saying this because I love you. And God loves you, all right? You don't have to talk a good game. You don't have to be an actor. If you would humble yourself before God, anybody, no matter where you've been, if you get low before God, humble yourself under his mighty hand. In due time, he will lift you up. How many believe he will lift you up? Hallelujah. But listen, he had a job. He probably made about $800 an hour. Okay, but not too long ago, he passed away. When he passed away, he had nothing left. He had nothing for his kids. Like, it was all a mess. A mess. You know why? Only one reason. Lack of wisdom. A lack of wisdom. And so God wants to bless us in such incredible ways, but we need to have reverence for God and his word. Look at what Charles Bridges said. Listen to this. It says, the fear of the Lord is that affectionate reverence. When you walk away today, if you want to know part of what fear is, it's affectionate reverence. It's affectionate respect. It's I respect you. You're holy. You're so high and so lofty that getting on my knees, bowing down my head, getting on my face before you, no problem. Okay? Listen, brothers, there's nothing more wonderful than being able to bow your heart before God. Come on, somebody say amen. Brothers, especially, we are called to lead the way of demonstrating a great respect for God. When you respect God, there's certain things you won't do, there's certain things you won't say, there's certain places you won't go, you know, things you won't entertain. Why? Because you fear the Lord. So look, the fear of the Lord is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law. His wrath is so bitter and his love so sweet that hence springs an earnest desire to please him. Does anybody here want to please Jesus? Come on, come on. If you want to please him, put your hands together. But do this with me for a second, okay? Lift your hands with me. You're holy, God. We worship you, God. Come on, with your own mouth, we honor you, God. God, we bless you. Look down on the from your mighty throne. Look down, oh God, on this place. And we are a people, God, that respect you and worship you and honor you, Lord God. We thank you for your holy word, oh God. We thank you, God, for your wisdom and your suggestions, God. And we bow our hearts before your great presence. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In your home, bow your heart to him. In your living room, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We honor you, we worship you. We turn away from our own opinions. We turn away from our own desires. And we say, have your way with who we are. What we go, where we go, and what we do. God, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive. Help us to walk in wisdom. Help us to walk in wisdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the way, when you read your Bible, to always respond to God when God ministers to you. Don't say, well, I got to read this whole chapter. No, no. The minute God starts speaking, bow your heart to him. Learn how to respond to God. Sermons are not meant to like entertain you. Okay? Sermons are the word of God so that you could respond to God. Okay, it's not about what I'm doing. It's about me doing something, saying something to you so that at a certain point you forget about what about me and think about the word so that you could respond to God. You see? Good preaching builds faith in people so that people respond to God. Let's be people who seek God and respond to God. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. So, in today's message, since we're focusing on the fear of the Lord, okay, we're talking about what is required to receive wisdom. Practically speaking, you know, what does it take to receive wisdom? What should it be like if you want to receive wisdom? So the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You have to fear him, and fear can be broken down in two very simple ways. First, you have to look up and away. Everybody say, look up and away. If you want wisdom, you have to practice looking up and away, because remember, receiving wisdom is not just head knowledge, okay? Receiving wisdom is a combination of your head and your heart in the presence of God. So in order to receive wisdom, you have to look up to God and away from yourself. Away from what you think, away from what you want, away from your preferences. You have to be able to say, in this moment, right? In this moment, there's only one counsel. There's only one voice. Imagine what we're talking about here. You want a really blessed life? When you go to God, you're like, there's only one opinion. It's his opinion. You see, you got to be able to get away from what you feel, even when you feel really strong. Okay? Anybody who's honest will go into the presence of God with very strong feelings about all kinds of things. And I'm going to say this to you. Always tell God what you really feel. No matter how ugly it is, he already knows anyway. Okay? So, I'm angry. I'm this. I'm that. I'm battling with temptation. I'm lusting. I'm greedy. I want to steal. I feel hatred. Whatever it is, tell the Lord, because guess what? He already knows. Okay? But after you've been telling him where you are, that's when you say, now speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I set it all aside. I look up to you. I look away from myself. because that's when real listening starts. It's not when you're, some people, their prayer life is complaining out loud. Okay, it's not about that. It's about, I'm looking up to you and I'm ready to receive. Look, the consulting world, the field of consulting is booming. People will fly across the country, across the world to get advice from someone, which is wise, okay? I'll never forget hearing a story in a Stephen Covey's heyday. I read Stephen Covey's book probably when I was like 15, Seven Habits of Effective People, fantastic book in part. And somebody flew, paid a lot of money. He spoke live, and it turns out Stephen Covey was a Mormon, so a lot of the principles in that book were very biblical. And after he spoke, a woman chases after him and says, Dr. Covey, you know, I've flown all the way here. I paid all this money. I took your class today. If you could tell me one thing that I could do, what would it be? You know what he said to her? He said, study the life and principles of Jesus Christ and follow them to the letter. And it all will go well with you. How many know that is wisdom? This is a good practice in life. When you're with people who are wiser than you, right? Listen, that's not a time for you to tell them what you think. Don't tell them what you think. Take in what they think. You know, their wisdom has gotten them someplace, right? Don't talk about what you think. Try to get what they think. Come in and say amen. So look, I said this to my kids all the time. I'll wrap this up momentarily, but this is very, very important. Here's the irony of life. I used to say, I've said this more to Tommy than anyone, but it's like, look, don't get Solomonitis. Okay? You know what? I call it Solomonitis. Of all the people of the Bible known for wisdom, Solomon. Solomon wrote the thousands of Proverbs. Okay? So when Solomon started, he had that combination of worship and reverence. God said, what do you want from me? He said, give me wisdom. But here's what happened. As God started to bless his life because of wisdom, he stopped having the fear of the Lord. And so the man in the Bible with the greatest wisdom, other than Jesus, he ended up shipwrecked and in idolatry, following other gods. And here's why. Let me put this verse up for you. This is crazy. Look, this is at the end of his life, because look, the way you start is not exactly the way you finish. Okay? So watch this. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. Okay? Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he had one wife, and one is enough. Right? So, some people, I don't know how you're taking that. I'm saying in a good sense. So he said, he loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughters, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and the Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, okay? Because they will surely turn your hearts away, your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. Okay? As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. So look, David didn't write as many Proverbs, but David had a heart after God. So Solomon grew up under David, and here it is, ready? Here's Solomonitis. Solomon grew up, I've seen it all, I've got it, I know what to do, and I know what works. Okay, but just because you know what to do, just because you know what works, that doesn't mean you have the grace to do it. the grace to do it, to actually live what you know, that only comes from getting reverentially, humbling yourself in the presence of the Lord. It's the only way. You can know, but just because you know, that doesn't mean that you do. Some people, the Pharisees made the mistake that because I know, I do. No, you only do if you actually do. You know what I'm saying? And so, help us, Lord, to humble ourselves so that we can look up to God and look away from ourselves. You have your marriage problems? Look up to God, look away from yourself, and then you having financial problems? Look up to God, look away from yourself. Relational struggles, health issues. Look up to God, look away from yourself. Because that's when God starts to speak. How many would say amen? And then, so it's look up, look away, and then here's the second thing. Then hush up and receive. Look up, hush up. You gotta learn how when you open your Bible, okay, the minute you open the Bible, okay, hush up. You see, it's like, I'm bowing down, you know, and I'm like, Lord, whatever you say to me, that's the rule, that's the law. That's, just speak, Lord. It reminds me of the child, there's an Arabic fairy tale, Aladdin and his lamp. Look at how unique life is, right? So there's this old fairy tale. Like Aladdin finds this lamp. Like, this is what human beings want. Rub the lamp. Out comes the genie. And the genie says, your wish is my command. Right? It's got to be reversed. You and I have to get down and say, Father, your wish is my command. How many want to bow down to God and be led by God? Some of us, we have these long-term battles with issues because we won't hush up and just receive. I have a friend, he's in his 70s. And he lives in Wisconsin. And was a farmer his whole life. He's like 76 years old. And his name is Gary. And I'm always telling him, dude, you got to slow down, you know. And the dude has the work ethic. He's like an ox, you know. And, but he has diabetes. And he used to have to poke himself all day long to check his blood sugar. Diabetes could kill you, but now he has one of those monitors. He has a glucose monitor. And it's funny because I'm like, every time I see him, I'm like, man, you don't change. You're like, you're moving around, you're busy. He says, oh, I can't stop working. I get bored. You know, he's working, volunteering here. He volunteers in the fire department, does all kinds of things. But here's the thing. Whatever that glucose monitor tells him about food, he said, oh, no, I can't eat that. No, I can't eat that. No, I would love that, but I can't eat that. You know why? Because he follows instructions. He does what wisdom dictates. Sometimes people say, you know, God doesn't love me. God does love you. But you don't do what God tells you to do. But if you will do what God tells you to do, you'll be blown away. So look, no matter how big of a mess, big or small, no matter how complicated a matter is, if you get into God's presence and you start to pray for wisdom, instead of what Solomon, see, look, last thing I'll say and then we'll close. Like, think about our culture right now. The Bible says Solomon loved many wives. So we live in a culture that says, what's wrong with love? If it's love, then there's nothing wrong with it. Not so. You can love the wrong thing. You can love the wrong person. You can love the wrong way. I'm cool with you not saying amen, but I'm gonna just amen myself. What's wrong? I love this person, okay? Just because you love that person, in your mind, that doesn't mean that that love is helpful to them. That doesn't mean that that love puts them first. Solomon loved, how do you love 700 women, whatever that number was, right? He used all of those women, you see? So you could say, but I love this, or I love that, I love that. I'm telling you right now, hush up and receive. And I need to say this, and then we'll close. If God says to you, walk away from this or them, whatever it is, he always has better for you. Come on, somebody say amen. Your wish, Lord, is my command. Every once in a while, when Chrissy and I are praying, every once in a while, we try to put everything on the altar. You know? It's like we're like, you know, Lord, just in case, we put our children on the altar. We put the church on the altar. We put our ministry on the altar. We put our finances on the altar. God, we want everything on the altar. Whatever you want. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. And there have been times in our lives that cost us and challenging, you know. But let me tell you something. God is a good, good Father. And he wants to be good to you. So we say, Lord, have your way. Have your way.